Folte und Diadwit, hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode Erlebnis Irland, dem Podcast, der euch die grüne Insel näher bringt, und zwar nicht nur mit Regen und Schafherden, sondern auch mit jeder Menge süßer Überraschungen. Ja, ihr habt richtig gehört, heute wird's schokoladig. Wir nehmen euch mit in das malerische Kenmare, ein Ort, der nicht nur für seine atemberaubenden Landschaften bekannt ist, sondern auch für einen ganz besonderen Schokoladenkünstler, den Chocolatier Lorsch. Hier wird Schokolade nicht einfach nur hergestellt, hier wird sie geradezu zelebriert, und da schmeckt man in jedem einzelnen Stück. Ob klassisch, kreativ oder mit irischem Twist, bei Lorsch wird Schokolade zur Kunst. Wir hatten die große Freude, ein Interview mit dem Mann hinter der Schokolade zu führen. Und weil Irland ja bekanntlich zweisprachig ist, wird es heute auch ein bisschen Deutsch-Englisch. Also schnappt euch ein Stück Schokolade, lehnt euch zurück, genießt das Gespräch mit Lorsch aus Kenmare. Los geht's.
So I'm sitting in Lorsch Chocolate Factory shop at the moment talking to Ben today.
Hi, good morning, Felicia.
Thank you for inviting us.
No, you're more than welcome. It's always nice to welcome people in the chocolate factory.
So the shop is, you come into the shop and you find lots of treats like peanut brittle or lots of cocoa nibs or cappuccino bars, and it smells heavenly.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, you cannot go wrong with the taste of chocolate. So the shop here, that where we are standing, is used to be the local post office. Okay, so I arrived myself in Ireland in 1998, originally as a pastry chef. So I used to work in one of the 5-star hotels in the town of Kenmare. And in 2004, I decided to do some chocolate, originally for a charity in 2002. Then the charity went well. And in 2004, I moved here in Bonan at night time and my days off, making some chocolate in the back of the post office where we're standing now. Then in 2000, and so the first 2 years there was no shop. Where we're standing here, which is the shop, used to be my first kitchen. Mm-hmm. Then John Joe and Margaret, who were nearly 80 years old, decide to close the post office. I move my kitchen in the main post office and transform what used to be my kitchen into a small shop, just thinking that it helped to pay the rent. And luckily, it's been very busy. So just to, you don't have like the picture, but what we are, it's a small village, 17 kilometers long, but only 50 houses. So it's very rural, very rural, lots of farm. And so it's completely lost. We are 15 kilometers from Kenmare, between Kenmare and another touristic town called Glengariff. And in the village, what you have, a church and a chocolate shop. That's about it.
Yeah, and the drive is quite scenic. So you go through the Cahir Pass.
Exactly. Yeah, the Cahir Pass, which is beautiful. The beauty of the Cahir Pass is the tunnel. These two tunnels, which are not very high, so the big coaches cannot go through. So, like the Beira Peninsula is much more authentic. It hasn't been as commercialized on some other place that you could find in Ireland. So, that's a really good place. So here we are employing now at the moment 10 persons. So the shop here, as we are in a touristic area is really busy from April to the end of September. But we also supply shops around the country. So even here, when we are quiet, we still have Christmas, we have Valentine's, we've got Easter. So it's actually a business who's turning all year round. The other thing that we do, that's we do some chocolate activities. So we do some chocolate workshop. So the family can come here for 2 hours making chocolate, like I have done today, two of them. So, yeah, so that's great. We've been developing that over the years. We're also now making our own spread and jam and chutney. Chutney, for the one who doesn't know, it's something sweet and sour that we serve with cheese.
With chocolate.
Oh, with chocolate as well, effectively. Everything goes well with chocolate. So I started this venture so in 2004 with my my lovely Spanish wife, who was not absolutely from the train neither. So we've been starting. And in 2017, we did open a second shop in the town of Kenmare. Where you're probably going to be next or tomorrow. So that is great. And we're just here working hard, but we love what we're doing, and we've got like a fantastic team. Lots of the people working with us have been here for many years. Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of now what we call a family business, really. Mm-hmm.
So Ireland and cocoa plants, they're a bit... difference, but where do you source your cocoa from? Which country?
Alors, my cocoa, as you can see here, the dark chocolate beans from more oriented to South America. We've got Venezuela, Peru. That is a 72% cocoa content. The milk chocolate is more African oriented. I called it Javivo because beans from Ivory Coast, Ghana, and the island of Java in Indonesia. 38% of cocoa, so it's strong in cocoa enough like for a milk chocolate. And every 5 years, I just create a new brand, okay? Because I'm not making the chocolate here from the tree and the beans. Mm-hmm. Yeah? My supplier make my own blend, my own signature chocolate that we transform after as you saw in a machine in a kitchen, into bars or different products. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, Ireland is not a country of chocolate, like Germany, but we've got two things in common. German are number one consumer of chocolate in the world, with 24 kilo, in case you didn't know. Ireland is the third consumer of chocolate in the world, with 14.5 kilo. So both of the countries are actually, even if they don't have cocoa tree and we don't have cocoa farm, are really big into the consumption of chocolate.
What's your favorite chocolate?
Dark chocolate, of course. The one who is good for you. When I mean good for you, I'm talking about on the healthy part of it. Cocoa, dark chocolate, is low in sugar and has got a lot of cocoa content. Cocoa is one of the stronger sources of antioxidants. So it regulates the blood flow in your body. It releases the blood pressure and reduces the cholesterol. So obviously, cocoa, dark chocolate, can help to reduce heart disease. But you also have like two proteins in the dark chocolate. The first one called the serotonin, which acts in the back of your brain, and that's what makes you happy. That's why people can say chocolate can be an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. But there's another one more interesting, another protein called the theobromine, which is full of endorphin. This one acts in the other side of the brain, and that is a stimulant. Very good for the concentration and the memory. There's some study at the moment to see if the consumption of a dark chocolate can help in a disease of Alzheimer. So you can see, you can enjoy the taste of chocolate and also see the good health part of it.
So... we're in the middle of nowhere, kind of. It's beautiful.
It's very removed.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did you come here?
So I was the pastry chef at the 5-star hotel in Kenmare, which is like the gourmet town, one of the gourmet towns in Ireland, and beautiful, very touristy. People come for the good food. And I came here first because it's removed, so the rent was very good value, was cheap. Mm-hmm. But also, I wanted to stay in Kenmare, not going to a big city. I like the countryside. I like the scenery. and you get here all the inspiration by the lake and the mountain. And so I find it very interesting. Plus, it's a small town, so you can make connection with some other artisans, some other producteurs, and you can work together. And I just find it easier to work in conjunction of other businesses than when you are in one city. And the reality is, I just love the countryside. I wake up in the morning. I don't spend 1 hour in a traffic jam. Mm-hmm. I prefer to spend like this hour to walk with my dog. Mm-hmm. And after I'm coming here and I make the chocolate. And yeah, it's nice. It's nice. And the fact that to have a life like very relaxing here definitely help when you do something a bit artistic when I'm doing. Which, by the way, if you've been around, Felicitas, you yes. have seen as well, there's a lot of artists and painters and everything around here. Okay.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you work together with different kind of businesses, and I think you get your sources there too.
Yeah. So what we do for the, by example, for the cream, I cannot use Irish cream because I need some cream who's been pasteurized. But by example, for the hot chocolate, when the people come to the shop, that's the milk is coming from a local farmer mm-hmm. who's got a dairy farm. For the salted caramel, that we do, the salted caramel truffle or the sauce, we're using a sea salt from Castle Tanbert, which is about like 30 minutes from here. From Castle Tanbert, I believe you met already John from the Berra Distillery. We're using his whiskey for the whiskey truffle and his gin for the Berra gin. There's also some other... a new couple, very interesting, who's doing in the Gulf Stream of Glengariff, because there's a bit of a tropical area there, cold tropical area. They do lots of different spices, and we're using their Sichuan pepper for making a chocolate as well. Now, after the rest, obviously, in chocolate, we're using lots of nuts. That's not coming from here, and the cocoa beans are not. But the most that we can use as a Irish product, we'll use it. Same thing for the butter. The butter is excellent quality here in Ireland, so mm-hmm. that's what we're using as well.
Yeah, the cows are grass-fed normally.
Exactly, exactly, and now if we're taking the box out of chocolate, I mean everything that I eat in my house, the lamb is local, my beef is local. My plumber is the guy who's shooting the deer. So the venison is local as well. So now we've got a fantastic product. And of course, we are surrounding by the sea. So as well, like we all the sea, all the sea fish and who goes as well. Oh, come back to me. We are using as well wazi seaweeds to making some chocolate with seaweeds.
Well, that sounds interesting.
It is very interesting, yes.
So it's can I imagine that's kind of salty or how?
Yes, it is. Seaweed, right? It's like a kind of an algae. It's in the sea. So yes, it is a bit salty, but it gives as well a bit of a salty and plenty flavor, like a plant flavor, and that goes very well as well with the dark chocolate that we are doing. Mm-hmm. And this woman, Wazi Pesto, she's doing, she used this seaweed as well for making a seaweed pesto with cheese as well. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, that sounds cool. So you mentioned that you have also courses for families. What do they do there?
So let's go to different angles. First, I'm doing some professional classes. So we have a 1 day, a 2 day, or a 4 day class. That I'm taking 2 to 4 person maximum. That is more for the people who are really foodie mm-hmm. or people who want to go to a new career reconversion and start like making chocolate as a living. Now, during the summer, it's different. It's more people can come, a family from can be 2 persons, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they come here and they make chocolate. So it's not only a demonstration, it's hands-on. So we wash their hands, give apron, give chef hat. Then they pour the chocolate on the table to cool it down. And after that, they pour the chocolate inside the mold. We're filling them with caramel. We're making some chocolate bar, some chocolate lollipop, some chocolate dish topping with nuts. And at the end, I'll give a bit of an history about the chocolate, where the beans come from, just a bit of the so it's a bit interactive as well. and these courses has been very popular. Unfortunately, I'm not running them in German, even if we have actually Charlotte working with us. She's from Germany. So she can translate, but she's not the chocolatier.
Okay, but that sounds good, like an idea.
Yeah, it's very visual. You don't need to speak the language. And I can still manage to squeeze a few words of German as well.
That's good.
Okay, now I'm just going to explain you a bit the process of chocolate. What we do. Making chocolate is not only melting the chocolate and pouring the chocolate inside the mold. It's all about crystallization. So there's a bit of a science in the process of chocolate making. So as you can see here on that whiteboard,
in the chocolate factory now?
No, we are in the kitchen. So I explain to people. So what we do to have a chocolate to have a good crystallization is a process called the tempering. The tempering is moving the chocolate to three different temperatures to have a good crystallization. So we melt the chocolate first at 50-55. So for that, we're using a pot of water, what we call a bain-marie, who's going to melt the pot of chocolate. Then we have to cool the chocolate down to 27, 28 degrees. So for that, when I have the group, we pour the chocolate on a marble slab. Marble is made of stone, so that's naturally too cold. Mm-hmm. And we stir that chocolate until we arrive at a temperature of 27, 28. As we can see here, the molecules come back nearly together. But to have it perfectly, we raise the temperature again at 30, 31 degrees. And if we do that, we've got a good crystallization. We've got a chocolate with glossy, with shiny, who have a good snap, especially who can remove from the mold. So the mold, as you can see here, made of a polycarbonate. Polycarbonate is a hard...
white mold?
It's a hard plastic. Yeah. It's a plastic very hard. We scoop the chocolate inside. We tap it here to chase the air bubbles, and we flip the molds down to have the chocolate dripping. So that's mean we are ending up here by having some chocolate shell. Mm-hmm. This shell, after, that's where the filling is going inside. Mm-hmm. So the filling, of course, can be caramel, it can be any kind of ganache. And when the filling is inside, we top with another layer of chocolate to cover it. What we'll do as well... we can do as well a bit of chocolate animals. We've got different shapes. So, that, of course, here we've got a sheep, which is one of my best sellers, you imagine, in Ireland. That's what you have. We do the same process, pouring the chocolate inside the mold for making like the chocolate bar and the chocolate lollipop. Here in this kitchen, as you can see, we have like the kitchen is separated in two parts. The part where we make the chocolate and one part who has got the packaging. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we do as well spend a lot of money in the packaging.
Yeah, they look nice. They have orange boxes. Yes. And
so that's our color, orange and blue. And also inside, you see the embossing is designed with the Lorraine cross. The Lorraine cross is where I come from in France. That's the emblem, the logo. So that's how we've been designing the boxes. Okay. So when I came in Ireland, when I started making in Ireland back in 2004, the sales of my chocolate was probably 80% of milk chocolate compared to the dark. Now, 20 years later, I'm selling about 50% of milk, 50% of dark. So the people generally are moving more to the dark. Here, we've got a range of customers, very internationals, who all have their own habits. The Irish are really into caramel. Everything with caramel sells very well, even if now they're moving more to dark chocolate, but caramel is a big thing. In Germany, of course, praline. You praline, that's what you say. And the shape as well. The German like this kind of a bowl shape, not like the roundy one. But also, by example, marzipan doesn't sell well with Irish because they don't have like a great quality marzipan. But marzipan, by example, is popular enough as well with people from Germany or Eastern Europe because you have like a good, I think you call that massapan. Very good quality. People from Switzerland is really into milk chocolate. No much of a dark, and really, really milk chocolate. Okay, and French obviously are a bit more flexible. Like we've got a long culture of artisan chocolate, so we have a bit of everything. Americans, of course, everything which made with Irish, like a Baileys cream liqueur, whiskey. Now, by example, after you were telling me what about Spain. Spain doesn't have like too much of a culture of chocolate. They don't actually eat much artisan chocolate, except for the Catalan. In Barcelona, that's where you find so much chocolate shop. We got as well a good bit of Scandinavian, which will be like a good customer, and they like the soft and creamy center. Funny things, if we always think about American and drinking Coca-Cola and eating burger, actually all the American eat dark chocolate. It seems like there'll be a good brainwash on dark chocolate because American eat 90-95% of the sales with them are dark chocolate.
Okay.
So, which is good.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good idea. Do you export to America too?
So we have an online shop. So people can order chocolate from all around the world, but I'm not supplying any other shop around the country. We just supply shop like from Dublin to Galway to Cork, all over. But after that, the people can purchase online in our website, www.lorge.ie. I'm sure if you put Kerry chocolate, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. And people can get them from home.
So, would you like to add something? Did I forget something?
But I would like you to test a few chocolates.
Nice. I'm lucky.
And having your feedback.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're going to a contest, right?
Yes. So that's why we got this interview a bit later today. I'm sending tomorrow 3 products for the Irish Food Award. Which is held in Dingle on the 4th of October every year. It's a competition called Blas na Hiran, and that's a Gaelic. So we are entering some salted caramel sauce that we use that more on top of waffle, pancake, or on top of ice cream. So that's once again, that's the one I told you who's been made with the sea salt from Castle Tanbert. Mm-hmm. The second product is one of my favorite chocolate bar. Dark chocolate with raspberry. So you get a great balance of the bitterness of the chocolate with the acidity of the raspberry. Mm-hmm. You will see that is made with a single origin chocolate from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And after, we'll do something like very popular. I never had enough. It's some marshmallow. So I don't know how you eat marshmallow in Germany, but here I started making marshmallow 5 years ago, put them in a bag, and they were selling just okay. But one day I decided to cover them with chocolate, mm-hmm. and now they are going out of the door. Like in France, we don't like cover them in chocolate. I don't know you, mm-hmm. but that's...
Normally not now. So you have the so-called süßer Speck, which is would be translated in sweet bacon, but it's a marshmallow and it has the shape of a bit of a bacon, but okay. but it doesn't taste like bacon. It just tastes like marshmallow.
Yes, but you say bacon, but like you can use as well a bit of chocolate when you're using a bacon dishes, in a venison. And I know like you guys in Germany like the wild boar and the venison. You mm-hmm. can actually. In your sauce, when you make the reduction of a red wine, adding a bit of chocolate.
It kills
a bit like the sour taste of the wine, and it goes very well with venison or wild boar. Mm-hmm. No, in chocolate, I try to avoid bacon, of course. But this is what we do. So hopefully, follow us, and you'll see in October if we won some prizes. Now I'm going to give you a little taste, and... I would like to thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much for having us.
Pleasure. That was a pleasure to have you. And I wish you're going to keep discovering that beautiful country, which is Ireland.
We will. We are normally here around Witsen. So we try to do it to make that tradition come alive every year.
Perfect. Dankeschön.
Und habt ihr Lust? Habt ihr jetzt auch Lust auf Schokolade? Ich weiß, ich habe während des Interviews mindestens 3 Tafeln Schokolade im Kopf vernascht. Was für eine faszinierende Geschichte hinter Lorsch steckt, oder? Ein Mann, der seine Leidenschaft für Schokolade mit der ganzen Welt teilt und wir durften davon kosten. Wenn ihr das nächste Mal in Kenmare seid, macht unbedingt einen Stopp bei Lorsch. Und falls ihr nicht so bald nach Irland kommt, keine Sorge, ich werde mir jetzt auch erstmal eine kleine Schokopause gönnen. Ganz im Sinne der Recherche, versteht sich. Vielen Dank, dass ihr wieder mit dabei wart bei Erlebnis Irland. Wenn euch diese Episode gefallen hat, abonniert gerne den Podcast und hinterlasst uns eine Bewertung. Ich weiß, wir haben viele Zuhörer, aber man hört und sieht nichts von euch. Also, bitte macht mal. Bis zum nächsten Mal, wenn wir wieder gemeinsam die schönsten Ecken Irlands entdecken und vielleicht gibt es dann ja auch wieder was Süßes. Tschüss und slán, go foil. Bis bald, euer Chris.